Half a day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
And whatever you're doing on this earth will someday reap great benefits in the future in another world. Because those that are last in this world, those that genuinely believe that Christ came not just to give us life, to give it more abundantly, we're not living for this world, my friend. We're living for another world.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
We have, for the last few weeks, have been talking about how big our God is, the God of our world. By His very word, the heavens were made, and all the heavenly bodies. So therefore, because of Him being the Creator, it gives Him the right to be the owner of all there is. He's delegated that to us as personal managers, as stewards. And so as a quick review, let me just walk through this, because we talked about the area of a steward being a personal manager, and we defined that. And then we also talked about Him being a steward of multiple motives, and that our motives are not mixed. You remember that? We got 2 Corinthians 8. And Jesus Himself, in His teachings, showed that in multiple times and ways, continually in the mission of His life, was to draw people to realize they're going to live for another world. Matthew here is talking about Jesus as the King. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about this story. Mark 10, Luke 18. Fill in the story a little bit, because this rich young ruler wasn't just a good man. He was a ruler. He was someone very wealthy. We talked about this first question, what good things shall I do? And then He said, all right, keep the commandments. Why did Jesus say keep the commandments? Was Jesus saying, there, see, you do all these good things, you're going to get eternal life. Is that what Jesus meant? That's not what He meant. He was drawing to the heart of the matter by saying to this rich young ruler, listen, you are convicted by the law before we ever feel the need to be saved. And that's why when Jesus said, if you really are that sincere, and He goes to the heart of the matter, then listen, go home, sell everything you have, come, follow Me. And Jesus, so as He always does, goes heart of the matter. Listen, it's not about the law. The law is just bringing you to Me. And He had at that point to make a decision. And He walked away sorrowfully up over the hill. And that's when then, that fourth question, when the disciples said, well, who can be saved? And the reason why they asked that, who can be saved? Because these Jews, these disciples, were still thinking, Old Testament, still thinking, well, look, the rich people are the ones that when they go down to the temple, they give more. The rabbis used to teach that you could give up to 1/5 of your giving. And the more you gave, the more you would end up earning your way into heaven. And much of that came from the old Jewish teaching, may I add, misdirected, that it started getting people think, I can do all these good things to get to heaven. And that's when Jesus draws it all together. And when you've read the story before, when Jesus answers, said, who can be saved? Verse 26, listen, with men, that's impossible. With God, all things are possible, but you can't do it on your own. This was the whole point of the whole passage when He put Jesus' teaching in helping them realize that Jesus speaks concerning riches and saying it's impossible for man to save himself by works. And that's why, to close here, notice the fifth question. When Peter now vocalizes and he says, and now he turns the attention from salvation to stewardship, from concerning riches to now concerning rewards, when Peter says, what are we going to get? Again, a Jewish mindset thinking, if he sells everything and he's going to get treasures in heaven, then Peter now is saying, whoa, I'm going to get much more. And notice Jesus' response when He now talks about rewards. And He's talking to those disciples, you are going to be rewarded for this. Then He expands this, and for us today, a powerful motivation when He says, and everyone, individual, everyone that is forsaken, houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, For my name's sake, you're going to receive 100-fold. If you're doing it for my name's sake, not for your own sake, not for your own interest, not for your own name, but for me, you're going to inherit everlasting life. You're going to receive 100-fold. Now, let me give you 3 simple points related to this. One of them is, understand that when Jesus used that, he used the idea of eternal rewards because, first of all, the eternal reward is God's idea, not ours. Secondly, the only way to earn eternal rewards is to be selfless. If you are doing this on the basis of something for your own self, by definition, any good work for God cannot be selfish act. First of all, God never rewards selfishness, only selflessness. And lastly, the only way to earn eternal rewards is to be selfless, but adding with this that God has a right to do what he wants with what is his. You see, Matthew chapter 20, and we don't have time, but Jesus finishes his point in verse 30. And he says to those disciples when Peter asked, hey, listen, what are we going to get? That Jesus, just to make sure Peter's motives were pure and absolute, he says, Peter, listen, many that are first are going to be last, and last are going to be first. And Jesus himself was saying, Peter, listen, the first will be last, the last will be first, and those that are here on this earth that seemingly have all kinds of authority and wealth and riches, if they don't know Christ and haven't put their trust in Christ, that in another world, those folks will not be the first to rule. It will be those that are last seemingly on this earth that have so little or so much, but in either case are using it for God's glory, and it's not what they have, it's what they don't have that are saying, God, everything I have is yours. I'm just your steward, and I'm going to give up whatever, including my family, my health, anything and everything. God, if you ask me, it's yours anyway. And Jesus was saying, these are the people that in a whole nother world are going to reap it. And that if you believe that by faith, then you come to the conclusion to realize that what you believe about Jesus Christ, that does determine your destination. That was the point of the rich young ruler. He didn't believe, and he didn't by willful choice say, he's not just a good man. He's God, and I don't want him to be God of my life. And he just put himself in the last spot. And he was trying to help the disciples realize, knowing only within weeks, he was going to be sitting there in Jerusalem, ready to be offered as a lamb, as a sacrifice to be slain for a whole world, knowing that these disciples were going to be scattered. But ultimately, he was going to rise from the dead and come back and reaffirm to them over a 50-day period between the Passover and Pentecost, I am who I am. I am the God. I am Christ. And the very things that you sacrifice, my child, on this earth, and you do it in my name, I am going to reward it, and the rewards are 100-fold, uncountable, unbelievable. Do you believe that? Really, what you have is 2 groups. And I'm talking to you. You are in 1 of 2 groups today. Either you are like the rich young ruler that says, I'm content, I'm happy, I'm going to do what I want with my own thing. It's great you're that passionate about your beliefs and your Bible, but I don't really believe that. And God is saying to you, listen, my friend, I've given you a law so there will be no justification, no rationalization. And someday you stand before me and you end up saying, I didn't know I couldn't get eternal life. And he would say, yes, you did know. And I answered it very clearly. I gave you the law to help you realize your sin-filled heart. But I love you enough. I gave you eternal life through my son. Did you take him? That's salvation. And by faith, believing my eternal destination. Have you ever done that? Has there been a point in time where you turned your back on your own desires and your own interests and say, God, I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. You've saved me. That's called salvation. If you've done that, then the other challenge is, just as your stewardship, my friend, God's going to reward you, my friend. It's worth every effort you give if you do it in Jesus' name. As one author made the statement, I think it's so good application, when he said, God will reward the child who gave to the mission offering that money she'd save for a softball mitt. He'll reward the teenager who kept himself pure despite all the temptations. He'll reward the man with tenderly caring for his wife with Alzheimer's, the mother who raised the child with cerebral palsy, the child who rejoiced despite his handicap. He'll reward the unskilled person who is faithful and the skilled person who is meek and servant-hearted. He'll reward the parents who modeled Christ to their children and the children who followed him despite their parents' bad example. He'll reward those who suffered while trusting him and those who helped the ones who were suffering. He'll reward the couple who downsized, selling their large house to live in a small one and give all the money away to missions. He'll reward that, my friend. And whatever you're doing on this earth will someday reap great benefits in the future in another world. Because those that are last in this world, those that genuinely believe that Christ came, not just to give us life, to give it more abundantly. We're not living for this world, my friend. We're living for another world. I was reminded of this as I got an email from Diane Doolittle, who was at college 20 plus years ago. Met a guy named Doug Doolittle. Incredibly smart kid. He was in my intro to counseling class. He got straight A's. Never missed one point on any quiz and any test. There was only one quiz that he got a 9 out of a 10, and he came to me and wanted to peel it. I said, hey, Doug, you know what? You got 9 out of 10. You are getting straight A plus. 1 point won't matter much. He was so driven to do his very best. Graduated 4.0, went off into doing some work, and then decided, you know what? I don't care how many hundreds of thousands of dollars I can make doing computers because you're incredibly intelligent related to technology. I don't care. I want to give it to the Lord. Made a decision, ended up coming to full-time ministry. Not that that's called for everybody, but for him, he felt like that's what I want to do. And God rewarded his obedience by giving him what his wife emailed. Doug received the happiest day of his life by going into heaven. Young man, left a wife, a number of children. Is that a sad day? Sure, a sad day in the sense that his wife and his children will miss a dad and miss a father and miss a husband. But what a great day now, today, in our time, is for eternity for Doug Doolittle. Or when Mike Green, who was the camp director where we used to work at Life Action, and a youth pastor to Pastor Joe years ago, who over 40 years, faithful to the Lord, passed away on to eternity. He's not lost because we know exactly where he is. He's enjoying all of the benefits that we read about that our little minds have a difficult time comprehending, my friend. We're living for another world. And it's worth it every single moment. See, if you know that you're in a plane and the plane's going down, you can live with discomforts on that plane knowing eventually the plane's going down and you're ready to end up facing eternity. And my question to you, are you in this category as a rich young ruler that you just have figured it out? You know what? I got my own way to go and this Jesus thing is not it. Then, my friend, someday you will realize this to be true. You're in this situation where you as disciples saying, I'm learning, whether you have been serving the Lord and coming to the Lord in the last year or the last 40 years, someday God in his own justice will reward you accordingly. Should this be your only motivation for eternity, for rewards? If it is, then you've lost it because it's self. But if it's one of many motivations, say, God, I just do this because I love you. And I love you that I want to be able to gain in order to give to you. Then God says, be grateful, my friend, and be motivated that what you're doing on this earth right now will end up impacting your future. Your faith determines your destination. Your belief, but your behavior does determine what service and reward God gives to you. Do you believe that? Does it change your life? Because, my friend, you've got to understand, Christ didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And it comes through Christ.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.